Welcome to the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society. Welcome to ITSP Magazine. You're listening to a new The Hacker Factory podcast with hacker maker Philip Wiley. You're about to discover what the role of a professional hacker entails, the different specializations it holds, and what it takes to learn and become one. Enjoy the conversation as Philip and guests unveil the secrets of professional hacking, a mysterious, intriguing, and often misunderstood occupation. Knowledge is power, now more than ever.
BugCrowd's award-winning platform combines actionable contextual intelligence with the skill and experience of the world's most elite hackers to help leading organizations identify and fix vulnerabilities, protect customers, and make the digitally connected world a safer place. Learn more at bugcrowd.com.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Hacker Factory podcast. I'm your host, the hacker maker, Philip Wiley. In each episode, I have a unique story from my guests that will hopefully resonate with you and help inspire you on your journey into offensive cybersecurity. In this episode, I'm really happy to introduce my friend, Jason Haddix. We met while I was an ambassador at BugCrowd. I followed Jason for a while. That's really what got me interested in bug bounty because he had some really cool things that he was doing that helped me as a web app pen tester. So that's how I originally found out about Jason. Then we got to know each other while I was a BugCrowd ambassador. So welcome to the show, Jason.
Thanks for having me, Phil.
That's great to have you. So for those that haven't heard of you, we have a lot of people that are just getting started. Could you tell our listeners a little about yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. So my name is Jason. So extensively, I've been doing security stuff for about, I would say, 15 years. Some of it being paid for by companies, other times not, but, you know, it just depends on where you are. I started as in IT, basically, as a help desk technician. So I always like to tell people who are just starting their journey, right? You can do anything, from anywhere, right? In this industry, it's one of the things I love about security is, you know, so many people come into it from, you know, like graduating college with a communications degree, no IT experience, you know, or whatever, and eventually, you know, end up being world-renowned researchers or something, right? It's just when this thing comes a calling, you know it, you feel it, and, you know, you really kind of put your all into it. And so, yeah, I started in help desk at Citrix, Citrix Systems, which had a satellite office in Santa Barbara, which is where I grew up, where I went to college. And, yeah, so I worked help desk there for a long time, and I went to a city college in my town, Santa Barbara City College, and they had some electives as part of the certified networking path, the Cisco certified networking path, and one of them was called Ethical Hacking and Network Defense. And I took this class because I thought it sounded cool, and I was, you know, learning switching and routing at the time, like trying to be like a real IT person while I was in help desk, trying to like, you know, further my stuff. And the class was not super great, but it did introduce me to the fact that you could do what's called penetration testing for a living. That was like a job that you could do. And so I got kind of obsessed, and I ended up, since I was on the night shift for help desk, you know, I was working from like 7 p.m. to 8 a.m. or something like that. And I ended up spending all my free time when I wasn't on calls, just researching and doing everything I could to figure out, you know, like, how do you do this pen testing thing? What's it about? And so I, you know, I spent some time there working with the local IT. I brought them some web security bugs that I had identified, some cross-site scripting, which I didn't really know what I was doing, honestly, at the time. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's just putting some characters into a field and seeing if something pops up, right? And so, like, I brought them some cross-site scripting bugs, and they were like, cool. And then, you know, I had a relationship with the security group at Citrix, which was really cool. And then I left Citrix to be part, to be a junior pen tester, you know, a year later at a small consultancy called Redspin, stayed there for a few years, moved on to be a senior web tester there, specializing in web. And then I went to HP, where I was a consultant for 2 years, and then moved on to be the director of the penetration testing group at HP, which was probably one of the biggest teams I've managed. It was the HP team that did all of the pen tests for all of HP's clients as as a consultancy. And then we eventually acquired Fortify, which did static source code analysis. So we ended up branching out into source code analysis and mobile assessment, and you name it, we did it. It was crazy. And I built a lot of my industry knowledge at that time at HP, working with some crazy smart people. And then after that, I left and went to BugCrowd for another 5 years, 5 year stint where I ran operations. I designed a lot of the product stuff. I did a little bit of everything at BugCrowd, but also interacted with the researchers. And during that time, I was a researcher myself on BugCrowd. So I did a lot of bug bounty. I used my pen test skills to make some money and hack some stuff there. And now I am the head of security at Ubisoft, the video game company. So that's kind of where I've been over throughout my career.
So before you went to work for BugCrowd, I know you, of course, you had the web app pen testing skills and stuff. Were you doing bug bounty before you went to work for BugCrowd?
Yeah, so before I went to work with BugCrowd, I was doing bug bounty for like maybe a year, I think, before I left HP. As a like one of the inspirations for me when I was kind of coming up in the pen testing scene was Dan Kaminsky, right? He's such a smart dude, and not with us anymore, unfortunately. I mean, he was a an acquaintance, not really like a super friend, but an acquaintance of mine. And he was the director of pen testing at IOActive for a long time. And so that's what kind of modeled me after being the role I wanted to be at HP. But it included a lot of stuff that wasn't just research. It was also like minutia of management, right? And so if 50% of your time is dedicated to the minutia of management, and then another 50% of your time is developing methodology, training, and working with the team, there's I wasn't doing a ton of pen tests, right? Or hacking. And so BugCrowd, the bug bounty stuff, allowed me to continue to let me use my skills and do research in my free time. And so I did that for about a year. And I was number one on the leaderboard for a couple years when BugCrowd first came out. Now I'm like 40th overall in some categories or something like that, because I don't get to do it as often. But I'm still pretty up there. I hacked a lot of companies. It was a lot of fun back in the early days of Bug Bounty, and it was pretty cool.
So, do you feel like the Bug Bounty experience helped you as a web app pen tester?
Oh yeah, for sure. So, when I came up doing pen tests at Redspin and then through HP, usually it's a scoped engagement, right? You have one domain. You're not really looking at not really looking at subdomains or anything like that. And then when Bug Bounty came out, it was more of a different deal. It was more holistic, where you could look at the whole scope of a company, right? You could look at subdomains, and you could look at virtual hosted apps and stuff like that on the same domain. And so so it gave you a lot more opportunity to stretch your recon skills. And so I was one of the first people to kind of share my recon methodology in the early days of Bug Bounty. And so I did several presentations on how I do recon to find esoteric like subdomains and acquisitions of companies and finding bugs on those types of sites and stuff like that. So that was a good opportunity to do stuff a little bit differently.
So yeah, as far as I know, you do some mentoring and teaching, and I know you've done some courses and stuff where you're helping people get started in the industry. If you would mind sharing some of that experience with us.
Yeah, absolutely. So, really my classes are not super big, honestly. I started out with some friends of mine who were veterans coming back home from deployment in Afghanistan many years ago, and that was my first class. And we were gaming buddies. We were buddies in high school, and they came back and they were really struggling to kind of find out where they fit, what career they were going to choose. And I told them if they were willing to dedicate, the time to learn, I would teach them, and they could try to find some stuff in security or IT if I could, help them at all, I would. And so I started working on the first iteration of this course. which is just called AppSec Bootcamp, really generic name, and it's really focused on getting people into web testing. And so it starts off with some prerequisites, right? I think anybody this day and age who is who is willing to put in the effort can probably do some Code Academy courses, right? So there's some prerequisites of a couple Code Academy courses, which is mostly how to build and operate a website, right? Like the core languages, HTML, JavaScript, and then one other language. Usually people choose Python. And they do the introductory courses there on Code Academy before they even start training with me. And then also how to, use a VPS, a little bit of the command line module on Code Academy, just so that they can set up their own VPS in Box when we start doing some testing. And then, well, once they finish the prereqs, we start. It's usually about a 6 to 7 month class. And we go chapter by chapter through the Web Application Hackers Handbook, which I think is the de facto resource for anybody learning web hacking. It explains, most, if not all, of the categories of vulnerabilities. And what we do is we take a vulnerability class and we learn about it over a week or 2 weeks, basically. And so we'll take the chapter as reading from the Web Application Hackers Handbook, and then we'll take all of these broken web applications that exist out in the wild, all these CTF apps and stuff like that. And I pick, usually 10 to 15 of the bug class, and I make them do it kind of as if it was a bug bounty, right? So first of all, I make them stand up the apps. Usually they have to stand up their own vulnerable app, right? They're not allowed to do the courses that are already stood up on the internet, like the PortSwigger one, WebSec Academy, right? I'm talking about things like WebGoat and stuff like that, where they're going to get a little bit of experience too from standing up all these esoteric web servers and stuff like that and getting them to work. That's part of like the trial by fire. And so they set up the server, and then they solve the challenge, the challenges that I direct them to, and then they do a write-up on the vulnerability and kind of why it's impactful and how they found out to do it. And they submit like a little findings report, and they do about 10 to 15 of those per vulnerability classes over the course of 2 weeks, usually 2 to 3 weeks. And we go over all of the big web vulnerability classes. Usually ones like cross-site scripting take a little bit of less time. Other ones like SQL injection that have concepts of like some database stuff take a little bit longer. Insecure direct object reference is one that is actually usually shorter because it just makes a lot of sense from people coming in, like understanding what that is. Server-side request forgery and, template injection and all these other ones, those ones take a little bit longer. And we just work through them. And then we meet for about, we were meeting in those classes for probably like, let's say, an hour a night. 3 nights a week, I think, in my first iterations of the classes. But I haven't done one for a little while. COVID has kind of put a little bit of a stop on the classes. And so yeah, that was kind of the gist of what I was doing with my students.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. I remember talking to you back then. You kind of recommended for people starting out to start out with web app opposed to other areas of pen testing.
Yeah, I think everybody uses the web, right? So some of the core concepts are easy to understand for people. Also, I think it's where the most opportunity is to get started nowadays, right? You can be a network pen tester, right? But there's honestly, these days, I feel like there's more opportunity jobs-wise in the web space and the mobile space. And because the days of service level vulnerabilities where you were gonna probably scan with a vulnerability scanner or a port scanner like Nmap and find an open port and then be able to exploit that directly. A lot of that's gone these days, right? Like there's not a lot of, server side or service level exploits anymore. And so NetPen was something that I learned and I started with and I loved, and I've used Metasploit so much I can't even tell you. But the evolution of NetPen has become red teaming, right? And so red teaming is, has a lot of stuff in it that are complex Windows internal fundamentals that people need to know. And I just feel like for new people, learning web is just a little bit easier.
Very interesting. Yeah, it's going back to the network penetration testing. A lot of times the web app stuff is very helpful.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of pen tests I've been on You know, I can recall several that were like had Apache Tomcat with either default or weak credentials, and you're able to upload a malicious WAR file.
Yep.
Even like an Apache JBoss. So it seems like a lot of times there's more opportunity there. And, you know, a lot of these tools to manage IT functions and different security software use some kind of Java server. And so sometimes there's vulnerabilities there.
Yeah. I mean, I remember being on NetPen projects, right? Like at HP or Redspin, right? And they give you normally when you're given a pen test, they give you an IP range, right? And they're like, scan these IPs for vulnerabilities, right? And even then it was starting to become like slim pickings. There weren't a lot of internet accessible exploits that you were looking for that you could find. And so when you would find a web server, you would just kind of extend your test into web testing, you know, and a lot of times you would find control panels like that, right? Or back end stuff, or you'd find them running some type of authentication panel for some app on a high web port or something like, or on a high port that was, hosting web servers, something like that. So, it always used to be one of those things where your boss would get mad at you, right? You would doing the pen test and you're scanning the range and you don't find anything remotely exploitable, but then you found a web app and you start going to work on the web app and your boss would be like, they're not paying for a web app test, like stop. And you just, as a hacker, you just want to go, you like found it and you want to hit it and you want to show value. And I remember some of those conversations. Yeah.
Yeah, very cool. I think that's good because at least that way you're able to show some value, because when you get on those pen tests, sometimes that otherwise, if you didn't find something like that, there wouldn't be that many findings in the report. So at least that way, at least that way the customer sees that you did something with your time.
Yeah, absolutely.
So kind of as far as online as people getting started, I watched one of your streams recently with Naham Sek, and you were doing doing the resume tips and stuff. That was pretty impressive. Is there anything, maybe some tips you could share here with people that are wanting to build a good resume or things that they can use to show experience?
Yeah. So Ben Naham Sek on Twitter and Twitch, he's a friend of ours. He had me on to talk about, like building a resume and using your bug bounty experience on your resume to get a job, because as cool as it sounds to be a full-time bug hunter, it's hard. It's really, really hard to do it full-time. And very few people do it full-time without having a day job. A day job hacking is, there's a lot of security in that and stuff like that. So, so we talked about what we would look for on a resume and how to integrate your bug bounty experience and if it was valid at all. And the first answer to the question is, if you have some bug bounty experience, it's absolutely relevant to put it on your resume, right? Like the ultimate test of someone's, resolve in hacking is if you can actually probably hack like a live site, or at least like you've had some experience testing a live, real web app, instead of some of the broken, purposefully broken ones you can do in a lab environment. And so if you have bug bounty experience, you can integrate it right into the experience section, of your resume. And you can go watch that video exactly like how we placed it and stuff like that if you've had some success. But if you haven't and you're newer, you can still use the same principle with the broken web applications that, we talked about on the stream. And so, nowadays there are so many. So there's a project called the OWASP Broken Web Applications Directory Project. And I don't know if it's still maintained, but it kind of doesn't matter because it's got about 60 or 50 maybe different broken web applications that people have built over the years to demonstrate vulnerabilities, mostly web vulnerabilities. And you can basically stand these up. They're mostly hosted on GitHub. So you grab the code, host it on your server, and then go through all of the challenges. And one of the ones that, I used to use a lot was BWAP, and it's one of the more ancient ones is WebGoat, but now there's Juice Shop and like all these other ones. And so so you can integrate those right onto your resume as well, right? In the absence of having any work experience, I have students right now actually who are building their resumes right now, who are one of my guys who took my class a long time ago switching jobs, and he has to refresh his resume. And so he's done all the WebSec Academy classes that Portswigger made. He's also done Juice Shop and BWAP, and he's done some Hack the Box, and he's done Try Hack Me, and he's done some other stuff too. And it's just like a block in the skills section of the resume about like what things he's completed. So he uses all those names. He says, I've completed these sections of those, and also they represent a body of work of understanding the beginnings of these types of vulnerabilities. And then he lists the types of vulnerabilities he's done before. So cross-site scripting, SQL injection, all of the classics in web. And that block, takes up about an inch, inch and a half, maybe 2 inches on your resume page. But for someone who doesn't have much experience getting into it, at least me as someone who's looking to hire someone on a red team or an assessment team or something like that, and that tells me that they've done the work. They've done kind of the homework to get started and stuff like that, and they have some familiarity with the vulnerabilities, which is a good stepping stone towards like doing the actual job. So.
Yeah, that's a very interesting and great idea, because most time people throw a bunch of tools or different operating systems they use on there and really don't show what they do with that. So
Right.
that's a great way.
Yeah. It's funny, my next big talk is actually not a hacking technical talk. Oh, it is, but I have two in kind of the works right now. My next one is actually more along your veins, Phil, which is it's more of a kind of series of talks to get people into to hacking, right? Like I think helping people find their way into this and being as happy as I am in security, right? Like I want people to experience that. And so I broke it down into several sections, right? It's not just, how you do your resume, and it's not just, the skills that you need to do the job. There's other components into finding, into like getting the job, right? And the first thing is to understand about the industry, right? Like, who are the players in this industry? Like, what can you do with these skills? What jobs are you qualified to do? What are the salaries for these types of jobs that you're looking at? Where do you find the jobs? Once you've decided you wanted to do this and you've built up the skills, like how do you go about finding all of the open, requisites? You can't just go to LinkedIn, right? There's a lot of really good resources out there to help you find jobs. And then how do you interview for a job like this? Are you expected to do a practical interview where they're going to put you on the spot to hack a website? And what might you see on a practical interview? What might they ask you for the interview? How do you negotiate your salary when you've passed the interview? So I have this series of talks that's going to be from like zero to hero on getting into the, kind of the hacking job, if you will. And I don't know what I'm going to call it yet, but I'm super excited for it.
Yeah, that sounds very interesting. That's one of the things that's been missing for years is some of the things how to get in. There's all this information on there on how to do web app pen testing or pen testing, but the prerequisites and all that stuff. And then I like that you added the career piece to it. That's a missing piece there too.
I think it gives a little bit of perspective too about what the job is going to be like, right? A lot of people, fantasize about having this job, the hacking job, and they don't actually know what it's going to look like when they get their first one and what you're going to be doing. And a lot of times at some, if you're a consultant, you're traveling, right? And people don't take that into account, right? Sometimes you're going to be traveling to do network pen tests, internal pen tests, if you're new at it, or you might be somewhat attached to like the conference circuit for some reason, or you might have to do X, Y, and Z. And like, giving a good representation of what you do day to day, and how long it takes. And then like, talking about things like reporting, which people don't often think about when they're just getting started, like how much time you spend doing reporting and how much critical writing is part of your job, I think helps prepare people to understand what the lifestyle is like when you get into it. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, pen testing out of everything seems to be the most interesting, but I think when people get to find out how much report writing is involved, that's maybe less interesting to them.
Yeah, exactly, right. And so if you let them know up front, maybe they can prepare or build some of those skills, or maybe they find out it's not for them. Who knows? I remember back in the day, we didn't have a lot of, kind of like the Droughtist like frameworks where you could build a report pretty modularly and quickly. And so we just had templates. You know, we had OpenOffice templates or Word templates, and you know, copy and pasting findings in, and reporting. You know, if you have a week long pen test, depending on where you are, you might only get actually 3 or 4 days of hacking, and then one day spent on reporting. If you're at a really good shop, you get the full 5 days of hacking if the pen test is a week, right? And then you get the next following week for reporting. But it all depends on where you are, and knowing those things going into it, and what can make you more effective in your job, or some of the other things I want to cover in the class too. So.
Yeah, that goes back to where you're talking about doing the write-ups when you're going through on your resume to,
Yep.
Work on the different vulnerable VMs.
Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly. Yeah.
So very good. I look forward to that coming out and sharing those videos that you're coming out with. I think it's going to be very, very helpful.
Hopefully it will be. Yeah.
So what is some other advice that you would give to someone that was wanting to get started in the industry?
You know, there's so much available now. And it can be you can get overwhelmed by the amount of like e-learning and YouTube videos and stuff that's out there. What actually is the complaint I get a lot from new people, at least I used to hear when I was associated to Bug Crowd and like all the new bug bounty hunters, right, is that there was almost too much, right? Like they were trying to tackle everything at one time, and that is not feasible. It's why I structure my class one vulnerability at a time, right? And then like we hit edge cases like later on or something like that. And it's pick a topic, right? Pick if you're doing web application penetration testing and that's something you want to do, start with one topic like cross-site scripting or SQL injection, and spend a good month or month and a half just learning that vulnerability, right? Really well. I mean, you have the core fundamentals of why it exists. You have the ways to exploit it. You have, several high, what am I trying to say here? Some very high, or at least public examples of how it happened to like a real, website, like Netflix or, something like that, or, understand like where you look for it. I think that's a lot of context that's lost these days too, is people will tell you to learn this stuff, SQL injection or cross-site scripting or anything, right? And in a lab environment, you usually know right where the vulnerability is. And so when you get to working though, you have no idea. Like a like an enterprise level web application can have something like hundreds to thousands of inputs, and you have no idea where the vulnerability is, right? And so learning about the places where the vulnerability is most likely to represent itself for each class of vulnerability is also something I really harp on my students to learn, to understand, like, okay, these forms in the account section are all interacting with the database, right? Because they have to store your personal information, and when you make updates to it, they're going to the database eventually. So these are places where SQL injection is most likely to happen. They're also very common since it's going to display your own information back to you. The account section of this website is also probably the place where you want to look for cross-site scripting, and so understanding like how web apps work contextually and where to find the vulnerabilities, I think it's a good teaching tool for new kids and new students to get into kind of the art, I think.
Very cool.
No.
So we're getting down towards the end of the show, and so is there anything that you would like to discuss, or any shout outs you'd like to give?
There's a ton of people I think out there creating content, but I would say if you have only so much time, Ben Nahomsek is a good one to watch, right? He creates really good content, and has a lot of guests just like you do, Phil, who talk about their hacking experience or who talk about bug bounties, and you can really learn a lot from listening to his past streams on YouTube. I would say go through your past talks where you talked about hacking, kind of the education cycle of becoming a hacker, right? The talk you did at what con was that we were at together? That was
Was it B-Sides Austin?
B-Sides Austin, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The idea that, if you want to get into the newer fringe technologies, you can look at trainings that are going on at like Black Hat or DEF CON or whatever. Like, that's a tip I've told people before, and you had it in your talk. I was so happy someone else thought of it. Is that, go look at what people are talking about, for thousands of dollars worth of training at Sands, and you can reverse engineer, any one of those skills and find the free information on the internet. So you can go look in that. But yeah, for content creators, I would say Ben yourself, Stoke, who's another content creator, does weekly kind of blast outs of InfoSec news, and those ones will keep you busy. Daniel Meisler does a general InfoSec newsletter that will keep you kind of abreast of what's going on in the larger security scene, not just the hacking scene. And so, like, if you want to like curate your inputs, I would say those three or four people will keep you kind of up to date and give you a lot of cool stuff to read and listen to over the course of your week. And then, yeah, the two that I would say for new people that are absolutely must-dos are WebSec Academy was a game changer for a lot of people. Support Swigger, the people who make Burp, have WebSec Academy. I'm sure you've talked about it before in your episodes and with some of your students. The labs there, like, are really, really good labs, and they're free, so that's awesome. Bugcrowd University and Hacker 101 have education topics and videos for all the vulnerabilities that are free. Pentester Labs is another one I really like. They're an online kind of challenge, hacking challenge sites, and then Hack the Box as well is really good. And so, like, just keep banging your head away, and you get there eventually. So.
Actually had Louis from Pentester Lab on here as a
Oh,
guest.
nice, nice.
Yeah.
How did that was good. I got to hang out with Louis, I think, last year for the first time. It was super fun. We had many beers.
It was great talking to him. And one of the things I do like is that he tries to help people. And a lot of times when he does his giveaways, he tries to find underrepresented people.
Yeah.
And this is not only just race or gender, this type of thing, just globally. So I really like that he's doing that. So that's
Yeah.
awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, Louis is a cool dude.
Also, too, as far as content goes, that you mentioned Web Security Academy by Port Swigger. Someone else that has some good content is Rana Khalil.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she actually, I first found out about her when she did some write-ups on the OSCP. And she
Okay.
kind of did that for herself to be able to have notes.
Nice.
And then she went on and she does a series on YouTube using Port Swigger Web Application Security Academy. And she does walkthrough on all the vulnerabilities. She'll go through,
Very
walk
cool.
through it. She's got long videos into shorter videos. And she'll even show you how to solve things using like Python.
Nice. That's very cool. There was another guy too that I really liked. This one, not a lot of people talk about, but so one of the old broken web app projects that used to be out there was Matilde, and it had multiple challenges for people to do for all the different web stuff. And there was a guy named Jeremy Druin on YouTube who used to do the same thing. He has YouTube or small snips of each challenge, solving each challenge using the common tools you would use to solve the challenge. So it's a good like zero to kind of finished view of walking through some of those vulnerabilities in like Burp Suite and stuff like that. And so I watched a lot of those, and I also do recommend them in my class. I think they're somewhere in the syllabus for people. And then Sam Bone, have you talked to Sam yet?
No, I haven't. I'm glad you
You
mentioned that.
should get Sam on this show, actually. Sam is amazing. So Sam Bone is a acquaintance of mine. I would say friend. We've met several times, and I've been out to his class. But Sam runs the ethical hacking classes at San Francisco City College. He got a blank check to write his own curriculum. So he wrote the class very similar to what I did. He wrote a class on web application hacking, wireless hacking, network pen testing. So he created a curriculum for hackers at the City College. For the web one, he used the Web Application Hackers Handbook, and all of his lectures and his homework assignments for his students that go through these classes are all public every year. He keeps them public on his website. I think it's samclass.info, and you can find some great people have stopped by there to talk. He records it, and it's actually like a structured university class on learning how to hack, which is absolutely 100% free, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, I actually found out about him before I started teaching, and he was kind of an inspiration on how things should be done. But what else is cool about Sam too, for our listeners that haven't heard of Sam, is Sam routinely teaches at Black Hat too. So
he does, yeah.
Not
yeah,
only, I mean, you know,
he's on the con scene for all kinds of talks. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and that's some real street cred there when you can go to a hacker conference and you're teaching these courses, because sometimes in the universities and colleges it's a lot of theory and they don't really have the hands-on experience, but Sam's pretty awesome.
Yeah, all of his stuff is super fresh too. He's integrating new techniques and stuff all the time, which is really cool.
Yeah, I have to definitely reach out to Sam, so thanks for bringing Sam up.
Yeah, no problem.
So thanks for joining me. It's been great listening to your story and the knowledge and advice that you've shared.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad that I came on, and hopefully I'll come on again. That'd be great.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. So thanks everyone for joining, and we'll see you on the next episode.
Thanks everyone.
BugCrowd's award-winning platform combines actionable contextual intelligence with the skill and experience of the world's most elite hackers to help leading organizations identify and fix vulnerabilities, protect customers, and make the digitally connected world a safer place. Learn more at bugcrowd.com.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Hacker Factory podcast with Philip Wiley. If you learned something new and this podcast made you think, then share itsbmagazine.com with your friends, family, and colleagues. If you represent a company and wish to associate your brand with our conversations, sponsor one or more of our podcast channels. We hope you will come back for more stories and follow us on our journey. You can always find us at the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society.